All right, so for those of you that will be listening on the church websites, and perhaps this would be the first lesson that you've caught of this, we are doing our series on apologetics. And our first three series, which the very first one actually did not get recorded. So if you'd like the transcripts for that, you can contact me at the church email address. And then we are on our third skit. Now, these are skits that the stage is set for a college professors that are unbelievers that are really attacking Christianity. In today's skit, we're going to have two young ladies that are pretending to be college students that are believers and have written a letter to a well-known atheist. Just so you are aware, all of this is attacks on Christianity that Tyler, Brian, and myself do not hold to as our beliefs. However, we have, from what we have seen, is some of the stuff that young believers or believers in general may encounter as attacks against Christianity. And we want to set the stage for the rest of our apologetics class where, even though we're playing the villains for 3 weeks, for the next 12 weeks, we will be actually giving a Christian answer to these attacks. And therefore, that is our setting the stage for apologetics class. So I encourage you to take notes, write down, consider how you would possibly defend against these. That way, as we start teaching the defenses against these, you might be able to say, ha ha, I was right, or oh, that's a better Bible verse, or oh, I had no clue what that meant, because they're using really big words. All right, so stage is set, disclaimers have been made, and we have our young ladies that are pretending to be college students now.
It finally came. What? My letter. You remember my friend Brian Barker from the Freedom of Religion Foundation? Who could forget him? He nearly chewed off my head when I mentioned the name of Jesus. Well, I finally got up the courage to write him, and this is his response. Well, don't keep me in suspense. Read it. Okay, here it goes. Wow, I guess he wasn't convinced by your argument. That's okay. It's not my arguments which will win him over anyway. It's the Spirit of God. Let's pray for him. Sometimes the hardest heart is the closest to yielding.
Well, I bet Mackenzie got my letter today. Boy, will she be surprised. I bet she thought I was going to buy all her arguments for the existence of God and the importance of religion.
I take it that your letter will make it clear that she isn't the next Billy Graham.
You always have a way with words, Brian.
It comes from growing up in Sunday school and stuff. I know all the arguments, all the scripture, and I use it against her.
Well, just why did you stop believing anyway?
Well, if you're making an assumption that I ever believed in the first place, I never really believed. It was kind of the thing to do. Most of my friends were doing it, and they were in youth group, and so I went, and my parents made me go to church anyway.
Yeah, but what made you get so hostile towards the idea of religion?
It's not that I'm hostile against a religion. It's Christianity. That's where the harm is. See, the harmfulness of Christianity is rooted in intolerance and anti-intellectualism, hypocrisy, lack of contact with reality, and just self-delusion. Bigotry against homosexuality and transgender and homosexual marriage. The refusal to recognize the need to protect the planet and agree with climate change. Withdrawal from society. Refusing to support public education, vaccination, there is hatred of women, refusal to accept abortion as a necessary choice for women and a freedom for women.
Yeah, but you have to admit, religious concept can be of some value. Like the use of religion, it helps you get in touch with yourself. You learn to understand other cultures by religion. Good humanitarian causes are come about by a lot of these religious groups, and it contains truths about human nature and needs.
Rob is right, Brian. You can't just rip into people's belief systems. You got to help them understand. Much more fulfilling life is apart from one intolerant belief system. Let's look at the answer to religion. Broaden your mind, put away preconceived notions. Helps you tolerate others. Live in harmony with all religions. Recognize that unbelievers are generally more kind and tolerant than Christians. Bart Campolo, his website and bio. I counsel and coach because I love life. I know how to support people trying to make the most of it. I've studied personal development, interpersonal relationships, spirituality, communication, and community building throughout my career, and I'm still learning. My wife Marty and I have been married for nearly 30 years. We raised our three adult children in Philadelphia and Cincinnati before following them to Los Angeles. Marty is an artist who also serves as the operations manager for a local homeless shelter. I grew up in suburban Philadelphia and attended Haverford College and Brown University. I became a Christian as a teenager and spent nearly three decades as an evangelical inner city minister before losing my faith in God and eventually becoming the first humanist chaplain at the University of Southern California. Unless we're actually discussing theology, however, even my closest friends can't really tell the difference. I always believed in the power of love, and I still do. Over the years, I've run youth programs, founded and managed nonprofit organizations, pastored congregations, written books, and given loads of speeches. I've traveled around the world, too, learning life lessons from all different kinds of people. No matter what else I do, however, I've never stopped counseling and coaching, mainly because those conversations are where I most consistently experience the joy of positive transformation. If you want a better idea of what it's like to talk the talk with me, just check out my podcast here. Click this link.
Well, Rob, Tyler, all that might be true. But there's two things that's very important here. You have to be true to yourself. You have to work for the betterment of the human condition. And also, look at the scripture itself. Read that Bible. See what it says. You asked me to consider Christianity as the answer for my life. I've done that. I consider it untrue, harmful, repugnant. You expect me to believe Jesus was born of a virgin impregnated by a ghost? You believe all the crazy tales of ancient religions? Julius Caesar was reportedly born of a virgin. Roman historian Suetonius said Augustus bodily rose to heaven when he died, and Buddha was supposedly born speaking. You don't believe all that, do you? Why do you expect me to swallow the fables of Christianity? I find it incredible. You ask me to believe the earth was created in six literal days. Women come from a man's rib, a snake, a donkey, and a burning bush, all spoke in human language. The entire world was flooded, covered in mountains to drown evil. All animal species, millions of them, rode on one boat. Language variations stem from the Tower of Babel. Moses had a magic wand. The Nile turned to blood. A stick turned into a snake. Witches, wizards, and sorcerers really do exist. Food rained from the sky for 40 years. People were cured by the sight of a brass serpent. The sun stood still to help Joshua win a battle, and it went backward for King Hezekiah. Men survived unaided in a fiery furnace. A detached hand floated in the air and wrote on a wall. Men followed a star which directed them to a particular house. Jesus walked on water, unaided. Fish and bread magically multiplied to feed the hungry. Water instantly turned into wine. Mental illness is caused by demons. A devil with wings exists who causes evil. People were healed by stepping into a pool agitated by angels. Disembodied voice spoke from the sky. Jesus vanished and later materialized from thin air. People were healed by Peter's shadow. Angels broke people out of jail. A fiery lake of eternal torment awaits unbelievers under the earth. While there is life which is 1,500 miles cubed, with mansions and food, for Christians only. Is that believable? If you believe these stories, then you are the one with the problem, not me. These myths violate natural law, they contradict science, and fail to correspond with reality or logic. If you can't see that, then you can't separate truth from fantasy. It doesn't matter how many people accept delusions inflicted by holy men. A widely held lie is still a lie. If you're so gullible, then you're like the child who believes the older brother who says there's a monster in the closet. But there's nothing to be afraid of. Go turn on a light. Look for yourself. If Christianity were simply untrue, I wouldn't be so concerned. Santa's untrue, but it's a harmless myth which people outgrow. But Christianity, besides being false, is also abhorrent. It amazes me that you claim to love the God of the Bible, a hateful, arrogant, sexist, cruel being who can't tolerate criticism. I would not want to live in the same neighborhood with such a creature. The biblical God is a macho male warrior. Though he said, "Thou shalt not kill," he ordered death for all opposition, wholesale drowning, mass exterminations. He punishes the offspring to the fourth generation. He ordered pregnant women and children to be ripped up. He demands animal and human blood sacrifice to appease his angry vanity. He's partial to one race of people, judges women to be inferior to men. He's a sadist who created a hell to torture unbelievers. He created evil itself, discriminated against the handicapped. He ordered virgins to be kept as spoils of war, spread dung on people's faces, sent bears to devour 42 children that teased a prophet. He punishes people with snakes, dogs, dragons, drunkenness, swords, arrows, axes, fire, famine, infanticide, and said fathers should eat their sons. Is that a God you think you should worship? Would you want to live next door to this guy? And Jesus is a chip off the old block. He said, "I and my Father are one." And he upheld every jot and tittle of the Old Testament law. Matthew 5:18 said, he preached the same old judgment, vengeance and death, wrath and distress, hell and torture, for all nonconformists. He believed in demons, angels, and spirits. He never denounced slavery or the oppression of women. Women were excluded as disciples and as guests at his heavenly table. Except for hell, he introduced nothing new to ethics or philosophy. He was disrespectful of his mother and his brothers. And he said we should hate our parents and desert our families. So much for Christian family life, right? He denounced anger, but he was often angry himself. He called people fools, serpents, white sepulchres, though he warned that such language puts you in danger of hellfire. He said, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword." He irrationally cursed a withered fig tree for being barren when it wasn't supposed to grow anything in the first place. He mandated burning unbelievers. He stole a horse in the Old West. That'd get shot. He told people to cut off hands, feet, eyes, and sexual organs. "You want me to accept Jesus? But I think I'll pick my own friend, thank you." One of Jesus' many contradictions was saying good works should be seen and not seen. One of his mistakes was saying that the mustard plant was the smallest seed. The writers of Matthew and Luke could not even get his genealogy straight. They contradicted the Old Testament in giving Jesus two discrepant lines through Joseph, his non-father. Joseph wasn't even his dad in the first place. I also find Christianity to be morally repugnant. The concepts of original sin, depravity, substitutionary forgiveness, intolerance, eternal punishment, and humble worship are all beneath the dignity of intelligent human beings and conflict with the values of kindness and reason. They're primitive and barbaric ideas for cultures cowering in fear and being ignorant. Finally, Christianity is harmful. More people have been killed in the name of God than for any other reason. The church has a shameful, bloody history of crusades, inquisitions, witch burnings, heresy trials, American colonial intolerance, disrespect for indigenous traditions, like American Indians, support of slavery and oppression of women, modern fruits of religion, including the Jonestown Massacre, the callous fraud of faith healers, recent wars and ethnic cleansing, and fighting in Northern Ireland. Religion also poses a danger to mental health, damaged self-respect, personal responsibility, and clarity of thought. Think straight, people. Do you see why I do not respect the biblical message? It's an insulting bag of nonsense. You have every right to torment yourself with such insanity, but leave me out of it. I have better things to do with my time.
All right, so that is the skits. Painful. And again, the purpose is not to shake your faith, but the purpose is for you to consider how would you defend against some of those accusations. I mean, you think about some of the things that Brian had to painfully read. That's why I gave it to him. Some of that stuff is legitimate questions, though, right? So if somebody came to you and asked you about some of those things, as far as the virgin birth or a handwriting on the wall, just exactly how would you defend? Would you be able to defend against those? So chew on those things. Let what was said bother you. Chew on those things. Think about how you might answer those things. And then we are going to do our best now for the next 12 weeks to give you the biblical answer to those things that were very, very much mentioned. Please, again, let your parents know what we're doing and why we're doing it. I don't want a bunch of phone calls and emails about what kind of a church is this and stuff. So and ask your parents some of the questions. Say, hey, some of these things came up. These are some of the questions. How would you answer? Who knows? Maybe we'll have some of your parents down here in Sunday school when we start going through the curriculum next week. So I am really looking forward. I'm glad to be done with these skits. And I am really looking forward to being able to actually get on to biblical principles and biblical arguments for our faith and why we believe what we believe and why it is not as it was portrayed by these worldly views that we put forth. Bart Campanoli, I think is his last name. He is a pretty popular person, so you can just research him and check out some of his stuff. He is one of these professing believer and now apostatized and goes around kind of teaching his own religion of love, joy, and happiness. You can see him on one of the American Gospel series too. And he's pretty much open to the fact that he was not misrepresented in those series either. It's pretty much what he believes and how he believes. So if you want to do a little more research on that. If you have any questions for us, if you want to come up and slap Brian because he made you mad.
Don't do that.
All right. So I'm gonna close us in prayer, and then we will have some time left over still, although not a ton of time, so we're getting close. But there's a few donuts left over. Chew on the donuts. Maybe even engage each other in some conversation about what was talked about, and find out what each other would talk, defend against. Have some profitable conversation. But don't go up around the Sunday school classrooms that are still going on. Don't go stand in the hallway and talk loudly in front of the church, you know. And don't meander off anywhere your parents don't think that you're supposed to be going. So.
Talk about the VBS thing.
Yeah, and don't forget about the VBS stuff as soon as the rest of the church lets out. Like I said, we're done early. This is going to be like the last time we're done early. Just so you know, we got a lot to get through in the 12 weeks, so just enjoy getting done early today, because I'll probably be keeping you late for a while. All right, let's pray.